Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing the music has been for this day, this morning and tonight. It's just been a blessing, and we thank the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, we've been going through and teaching on the teachings of Christ. And this we've been doing in chronological order from the very first lesson that he taught, and we're making our way through. We're in the final stages of Jesus discipling his apostles. Now, this is a very important thing for him to do because he would establish his church, and then he would prepare the apostles to continue the New Testament church. And during the apostolic age, until they got the completion of the words of God. And then, of course, the church took fire, took off. I mean, and they were scattered abroad, but everywhere they were scattered abroad, the believers, they were representing Christ, establishing New Testament churches, and what a blessing it is as we look back over the history. But it began with Jesus coming and presenting New Testament Christianity and God's plan of salvation, which was always the same. They look forward to the coming of Christ, Old Testament. They look to Christ while he was here, and for some 2,000 years now, they've been looking back to Christ to see that he was the Messiah. He paid the sin debt that every human owes and cannot pay. And so during that time, he would be preparing his disciples, especially the apostles, for this New Testament church age. This, what we're reading tonight, was the transfiguration of Christ. And this was a planned event for only three of the apostles. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to read this and study this. Sunday night, amen. Hopefully you had a nice rest and you got your sleeping out of the way, amen. Don't want you sleeping now. Want you to understand we're in church. Praise the Lord for the music. If you were not here Wednesday night, understanding what music, how God designed that for worship and what it can do for us. And hopefully it's already allowed you to realize you're in church and the music you've heard has prepared you to receive the message that God has for you through the preaching of the word. I trust that you're there tonight. And so let's look into this together and receive what God has for us. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias or Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Again, we thank you for the privilege of being in church and sensing your presence here and already being ministered to through the music. But now as we've opened up your word and we've read this event, I pray, God, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to understanding this and then being able to learn from this and make whatever applications that we have need to make. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. The transfiguration of Christ. I mean, they was able to see something that they would have not been able to see unless this took place. Now, the first thing we look at here is, again, it was witnessed by only three, but later revealed to all of them. When it says, he bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. So Jesus, this is a planned event. He knew exactly what he was going to do in preparing these three for future ministry and for what God would have for them to do. And it says, when he got them up there, it said, and he was transfigured before them. And this during this transfiguration, for his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And then over in verse 9, it says, and they came down from the mountain. Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. So much going on here, and he's preparing them for his going to the cross of Calvary, and there be crucified, and crucifixion would not be the end, for he was God, and he was the Messiah, he was a sacrificial lamb, and he would raise again on the third day. So this is the things that he brought out to them, witnessed by three, witnessed by Peter, James, and John. They would all write scripture. Can I tell you that God knows what we need to experience to prepare us for the race that God has us to run. Look back over your life. You're serving God. You'll find that God brought things into your life, and he allowed you to experience certain things to be able to run the race. Every one of us has a race to run for Christ, and all of our races are a little bit different, but we all need to be committed to running that race to be what God would have us to be. And truth of it is, it's all to see souls saved, and every one of us has certain connections that only you have. There's people that you know that will listen to you when you present the gospel to them that would not listen to me. And you're there, and that's part of your race, is to reach those that God brings into your life. He has you there to represent Christ to the world and your Jerusalem to start with. And then when collectively here, we reach the world by partnering with missionaries to go into all the world and all the different things that are taking place. We're serving the Lord together, but realizing that all of us has that race. We all have a ministry that God has called us to. And if nothing else, if you're not involved in any of the other ministries of the church, you need to be involved in the ministry of being a witness. And that's what he would have all of us to do. And so we find here that he's preparing the apostles, and especially these three. These three, he has taken up on this mount for this transfiguration experience, and they would be the ones that would write some of the scriptures, the New Testament scriptures that we have before us. Now, Paul wrote 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible, but we find here that James wrote the book of James, and John actually wrote the book of John, and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And Peter would write 1st and 2nd Peter. And in these, we find that they would use this experience to be able to write what the Holy Spirit of God gave them to write. Now, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. But God prepared each one of them to write what he would inspire them to write. And Peter being the main one. If you look over to 2 Peter with me, in 2 Peter in chapter 1, we find that this had an impact on Peter's life, and he would use this as in 2 Peter, he is looking to win souls for Christ. He's looking to present Jesus Christ as the Messiah to all of those that he could reach. And in this letter, we find that Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. He's telling those around him, we're not blinded. What we're presenting to you as far as the Jesus Christ being the Messiah, the Savior of the world, he says, we're not following a cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So what he experienced there, now he's writing about in 2 Peter chapter 1, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. And when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So Peter now is presenting this and he says, you know, what we're presenting to you is not hearsay, it's not a fable, it is something that's reality. We actually was able to see and to hear from Almighty God in this experience that Jesus allowed them to have. Peter gave this as a proof as to who Jesus was and is. He said they saw the glory. They saw the glory that was inside of Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So what they seen in this transfiguration was God. God inside of Jesus, and for this moment in time, in this transfiguration, they were able to see God shining through his physical body. That's what this transfiguration, that's what this is all about. And then not only did they see it with their own eyes, they were eyewitnesses that this took place, they also heard the voice. They heard the voice of God. For receive from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. They're saying that this is a glorification of Christ, seeing him as deity. This is my beloved Son. They saw him in his glory, and then they heard God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice came from heaven, and we heard. So he has a testimony now. You know, there's certain things that we go through, and God teaches us lessons. And as we go through those things and we are taught different lessons, and we are to hold on to those things and testify to others. Amen. So they might be able to share from our experience and be helped by our experiences. We don't go through things without there being a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God and be a blessing to others. So they saw the glory that was inside. They heard the voice of God. They saw him in his majesty. This is what they seen in this transfiguration. Now, go back with me to the book of Mark, because Mark writes of this account too. Mark and Luke both do. But over in the book of Mark in chapter 9, Bible says, then after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. So we find, even though Mark was not there, he was inspired to write of this experience that he would know about after the resurrection of Christ. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. So we find here that Mark's revealing about the glory and the brightness and this whiteness is like snow that they saw coming out and that was inside of Jesus himself. The glory of his deity was allowed to shine through his body. This would prepare John to write in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is one that John on the island of Patmos, if you look over there with me in Revelation in chapter 1, this was preparing him for what he would experience as he was on this island of Patmos because of the witness and his testimony for Christ. It was a punishment they exiled him to the island of Patmos. And this is what the book of Revelation, this is what John writes in the book of Revelation in verse 9. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. His only crime was that he would witness for Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Exactly what he wanted the church to understand about the glory of God. And he says, I heard this voice, and this is what it's saying to me. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool. Now John had seen the transfiguration, and now he's on the island of Patmos, and this is confirmation of the glory of the Savior, Jesus Christ, and he's able to write it for us to read and benefit from it as well. And his head was hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That's his servants, and that's the Bible that we have here, the two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. John had no idea that God had planned for him to be on this island of Patmos and be able to get the revelation of Jesus Christ that he would write for all the churches to have and for all humanity to have for some 2,000 years now. But this began on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was taking him through an experience that would prepare him to run his race. And praise the Lord for John being willing to stand for Christ and exile on the island of Patmos and being able to write, especially in the first few chapters of the book of Revelation that reveal the messages to the churches. Can I tell you that not only was this transfiguration allowing us to see the deity in the body of Christ, but it also helps us to understand there's a similar glow inside of every born-again believer. The reality of God inside of the body of Jesus Christ, that's the Messiah, is the same belief and understanding that when you get saved, you have Christ in you. And as Christ is in you, this very same glow, this very same representation of God is in you. Now, we know this over in the book of 2 Corinthians. I want you to read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are past. Behold, all things become new. The reason they are becoming new is because you have an influence inside of you. As we preached on this morning, you have a new nature that can lead you to purity, that can lead you to right thinking, that can lead you to have a conscience void of all these infirmities. He goes on to say in this very same book, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, right after this, Paul writes this in verse 6 and 7, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts." When you truly believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and you believe in Him, and then you ask Him, you receive Him, you ask Him to come into your heart and to save you from your sins, what happens is God comes into your body. The Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within your body. That's what the Bible says. For God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God wants you to know that when you get saved, that something takes place inside. The old devil is going to try to blind you to that and makes you think that there's nothing different. But there is. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, which is part of the Godhead, which has the very same glory and the glow and the brightness as Almighty God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have this available. And the Bible says it's a treasure in earthen vessels, that your body's an earthen vessel. What you have inside of you and that can do a work in you is something beyond this earth. It's from God. Beyond this dementia, it's from God. Don't let the devil blind you to that. Don't let sin blind you to that. Don't allow your conscience to be seared, and that will blind you to that. So we find here that he takes the three apostles up into the mountain, and he reveals to them who he is. They see God in the body of Christ. And then they hear from God the Father. The second thing we find about this, and we study this, go back there with in our text here, because after they see the transfiguration, and the Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, "And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light." And this is something that was just overwhelming to them as they witnessed the glory of God. Then the Bible says, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias," or Elijah, "talking with Christ." They saw the lawgiver, which was Moses, who wrote the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Old Testament. Now he's standing in front of them and communicating with Christ in his glory. And then they see the greatest prophet from the Old Testament would have been Elijah. And they see this great prophet. Now that just represents the prophets. Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. And now we find the law that's represented by Moses and Elijah represented by the prophets are there in front of them. This was proof that there is life beyond the grave. This is proof that we will be known as we were known on the earth in heaven. There's individuality in heaven. There was the individual Moses in the Old Testament that afterwards, now this, he's appearing in front of the disciples of Christ. There's life in heaven. There's identification in heaven. There's communications in heaven. So they see this. They see Moses and they see Elijah. And I mean, what an experience that they're having right here. They're seeing the transfiguration of Christ. And now they're seeing two of the greatest of the Old Testament servants of God, Moses and Elijah. And can you imagine being there? And how this would have impacted your life. Well, we're reading it. Y'all let it impact your life. That know that Jesus is deity. He's God in the flesh. Know that there is life after death because of Moses. Now, Elijah went up in a whirlwind. They didn't find the body of Moses. So all that we know is that he took Moses up as well as Elijah in the very same way. And now they're seeing them with Christ. Why would the Bible reveal these two? See, because it connects with what John would write in Revelation chapter 11. Go back there with me. He was there. In Revelation chapter 11, it reveals the seven-year tribulation. 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years. Found in verse 2 there when it says, talks about the Gentiles and the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. And then the second 3.5 years. Verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. God's going to have two witnesses in the tribulation period. And John writes this. These are the two olive trees, verse 4, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth, which is Antichrist. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. This is going to be the tribulation, the worst of the tribulation period here in the second 3.5 years, and that's going to be brought on by the two witnesses that God is sending for judgment on the earth. Many believe that these two witnesses will be Moses and Elijah. They were the two that were talking to Christ, and the disciples, the apostles, witnessed the two of them in this New Testament church age. Isn't it a blessing to see how the Bible all comes together, how it all just fits together when you read it and study it and understand it? These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of the prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished, when they finished their race, what God had them to come back for, what God had them here, they're the two witnesses with this power from God. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now I want you to see something here. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city in Jerusalem, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. This was revelation that God gave to John 2,000 years ago. What he reveals would have been an impossibility 2,000 years ago for even to imagine. How can everyone on planet Earth see what's taking place? How could they see these two witnesses and what they're doing? How could they see them be murdered? How could they see them lie dead? In every news coverage, covering it, viewing it around the world. Because God knew the technology we would have in this 21st century. Written down 2,000 years ago and telling us that all the people of the earth would see what's taking place in Jerusalem. They would witness these two servants and prophets of God. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. Rejoice over these prophets who are standing for righteousness. And make merry. And shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Righteousness will torment an unrighteous man. Yeah. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God enter into them while the whole world's watching as well. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. I think there's a little fear in the world when they see that take place. Because after the 3 and a half, there's going to be a judgment. Because Christ is going to return after this. Yeah, and he will rule and reign for 1,000-year millennial reign. But this prepared John. Seeing not only Christ transformed, but also seeing Moses and Elijah, it prepared him to be able to be led of the Holy Spirit of God to pen the words that we are reading today 2,000 years later. In the book of Revelation, should strengthen your faith, should strengthen your understanding of life after death, should strengthen our understanding that the Bible is true. Yeah. Go back with me, we're going to close here. Go back to our text, Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17. This is after they seen Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. I mean, he's excited about it. It's good for us to learn this as well. It's good for us to read this and to be able to be blessed by their experience that they had and to have it recorded for us to realize what was taking place. And if thou wilt, let us make thee here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Peter speaks without understanding even what he's saying. I love it because Luke would record Peter speaking this, and it says, not knowing what he said. Peter said this, but not knowing what he was even talking about. He was so excited about what he was experiencing, he didn't want it to stop. He was so wound up about what God was doing and what he was able to see and understand that he says, I don't want this to end. Could I build them a tabernacle or a covering here so they'll stay longer and we can experience this for a longer time? I don't want them to leave. And while Peter yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." See, God's message through this transfiguration to us, "This is my beloved Son. Don't ever doubt it. Don't ever lose faith in the deity of Jesus Christ." God says, "I want you to know this. This is my beloved Son." And what he's accomplished and what he will accomplish, whom I am well pleased. He's doing exactly what I asked him to do. Which ought to help us to want to do exactly what God has asked us to do. If you believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God and you've received him as your Savior, you ought to want to please Christ in all that we do. But possibly the most important message was given as God the Father looks to all humanity and he says, "Hear ye him." Listen to all that he says. Because he speaks the words of life. Anybody that speaks opposite than the words of Christ is a liar. And the truth is not in them. Don't ever be convinced to turn away from the teachings of Christ. There will be a great temptation to turn away, especially in the end days, to turn away from the teachings of Christ. That's Antichrist. Hear ye him. Listen to all that he says. And they walk away. Jesus comes and the experience is over. And he leads them away. But their lives have been impacted. And it's what they would need to draw from as they were tempted during the crucifixion to flee. They would have to remember these words. When the temptation comes, who knows when it's going to come for you and when it's going to come for me, but it's going to come. And your faith is wavering a little bit. Can I encourage you to go back and read this with the understanding that we've presented to you tonight and listen to the voice of God. "This is my beloved Son." It's all true. He was God the Son who came to earth to pay a sin debt that you and I couldn't pay. I'm well pleased with what he's done. He's done everything I've asked him to do. Hear ye him. Don't lose faith. Don't turn away from the teachings of Christ. Base your living upon the words of God. If I could have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. What a great truth in the transfiguration of Christ. Are you saved? Do you truly believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world? Are you hearing him? Are you focused on his words? Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for the truths of your word and this testimony that we find of Peter, James, and John, and how they would experience this transfiguration and how they would apply it in their own lives and even be used to write the scriptures that we hold to today. Help us, Lord, to be strengthened by this tonight. If there's decisions that need to be made, I pray, God, that they would be made right here, right now. Blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.